Today on Compassion Radio.
Around the world these days, you will find people who are suffering, literally suffering from deep depressions or schizophrenia or other kinds of things that you look at and say, something is not right here. Not that you want to despise them and walk away from them like they're contagious to you, but we understand a little better now how it's not contagious if someone has schizophrenia, as far as we know it. But it's something that, for a believer, ought to drive a lot of compassion. If God can heal these people in first century AD, of their diseases, of their evil spirits, he can and he does do that today.
That's right.
Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Well, it's Monday, and that means it's time for Chasing the Word Together. In this weekly series, Bram and his wife Sandy take us on a journey into the lives of the earliest Christians with a look at what it means to have an authentic, world-changing faith. Here's Bram and Sandy to continue with chapter 19.
We have before us chapter 19 of Acts this week. Let's go on.
Well, as soon as they heard the message that Paul was sharing with them about Jesus, they were overwhelmed by it, and they wanted to be baptized in the name of Jesus this time. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them in the same way the original disciples experienced at Pentecost, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. This is the same thing that happened to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. So we're seeing this great movement that God is reaching into the lives of these people.
This transformation could not have happened instantaneously the way we see, like, oh, they suddenly realized the truth. They suddenly were filled with the Holy Spirit. They suddenly. Pots boil. And I see the Holy Spirit already at work in hearts, opening channels and raising the heat. These people's hearts are already ready to burst forth with new energy.
Well, I think we have seen that even in places around the world that we've been where people are doing some really great work. They're working alongside of other people who maybe don't claim the name of Jesus, but they are passionate about loving their neighbors, about loving people and serving people.
And some of that seed's been planted in their
soil. But you see them doing this work, and then you say to them, you're the hands and feet of Jesus. And it is almost like a light goes on.
That's what I've been doing
for. Wow, that's it. That's
God
the thing.
God is happy with you. Wow. And I think about gardening, too. I love watching those slow motion videos on PBS about plant life bursting. And just the idea of a seed working its filament up there, and suddenly it just, boom, the seed opens and the plant rushes out. I know it's all in slow motion kind of thing, but in God's time, this is instantaneous. He has time to watch it all happen and rerun the tape and enjoy every bit of it. Our lives are like that, too. Maybe we're the seed that's been planted, or the seed has been planted in our hearts, and it's been germinating. It's been getting ready to bear forth a branch that can bring forth fruit. But we wouldn't notice it until suddenly it's in bloom.
Right.
So there's a lot of blooming going on across the Roman Empire right now.
Well, it seems like the disciples that are going out, even Priscilla and Aquila doing their teaching and Paul here in this instance, that there's a lot of partial truth maybe that's been spreading around the world, spreading around the region.
Seeds of greatness, we'll call them.
Exactly. And I think that these people are just waiting. Maybe they feel like they're on the verge of something, and then they hear the full truth, and it explains so much. That makes so much sense, you know, when they get it finally. I think we're like that in a lot of ways in our spiritual journeys when we know, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus, I know, and I've been reading the book of Ruth, and I tell you what, it's not like I thought. My whole life, think, oh, this is, you know, happily ever after story. That's not what it's about. It's about redemption, and it's about the grace of God. And we see that even in our walk with God, and no matter how long we've been walking with Jesus in our lives, there's always something to be learned. And there's always a new level of enrichment to gain. There's always a new deepening of faith and trust in Jesus.
And there's also the acknowledgement from Ruth to these new believers in the Roman Empire that follow me to a foreign country is the call of Jesus. He's saying, enter a kingdom. Whether we're in a republic now in the United States of America, whether we are living in a more despotic state around the world now, our world has many different forms of government. But Jesus is literally calling us to step out of our allegiance, our supreme allegiance, to an earthly authority or potentate, and follow him to a foreign country. without ever leaving home. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a strange journey, but it's always full of promise. But we have to know what his promises are to make the journey even possible, because mm-hmm. we have to have hope.
Right.
And these people are discovering hope in a big way, and that pot's ready to boil. Those branches are ready to burst into flower. All these kind of things are happening under the surface and suddenly out in the open. Mm. Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came. I love that thought, because there was no wait. Not that there was no wait between hearing the truth and the truth erupting from them, but that there was no wait in the revelation to all of what had been going on in their hearts up to this point. Mm-hmm. So there's no question that God had been at work. And he went to the synagogue, and for 3 months he spoke boldly there, reasoning and arguing and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some of them became hardened and disobedient to the word of God, discrediting and speaking evil of the way against Jesus and his followers, and they did this before the entire congregation, Paul walked out, taking the disciples with him, and went on holding daily discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus instead of in the synagogue. Now, we don't know much more about Tyrannus because the Bible doesn't talk about who he was, but there are two schools of thought. Either he's a Greek philosopher, or one that might be a hybrid of both Greek and Jewish background, mm-hmm. who was a teacher of law and ethics and morals and things that were kind of like a public meeting house or a school. Or he could be literally a rabbi that was kind of the minority opinion within mm-hmm. the synagogue that had its own meeting house because he had that kind of wealth to do it. And so you have like after synagogue discussions. So he had mm-hmm. a meeting hall available for them to go to. We don't know which one it is, but it's interesting that Tyrannus itself is the same root word of tyranny. So somewhere in his family history, they were giving him the honor of being tyrant, one who commands. Here we are, stepping out from the tyranny of mob rule in the synagogue and stepping into the house of Tyrannus and finding freedom to say everything that God has for them to share.
Mm, I like that.
This continued for how long?
Two years.
That's not a small amount of time,
right?
Especially when you're kind of just sojourning, knowing that God's probably going to call you on to someplace next. This is one of the longest engagements that I know of in the whole history of New Testament evangelism, where someone traveled way across the empire to a new country and actually set up camp for that long without staying the rest of their lives. Mm. God apparently thought Ephesians needed it. Mm-hmm. So Ephesus was a place to really lock in for a while. God had plans that went way beyond just helping these few people understand the truth better. Mm. Because of this, all the inhabitants of the west coast province of Asia Minor, Jews as well as Greeks, heard the word of the Lord concerning eternal salvation through faith in Christ. So my guess is all of this teaching worked its way out into the marketplace. People have business. They go to other towns. They say, you know, Paul might still be there. You need to hear what he has to say. Mm-hmm. Come. When you come to town, I'll put you up. This network of people, and Ephesus being quite a trade town, would have meant that people of influence and some education and some even wealth and position in society might now be traveling, carrying this word out there. Something's going on in Ephesus. You need to know about it. Mm. And then comes a miracle. As if all the rest of this weren't miracles. God was doing extraordinary and unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or face towels or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them.
Wow.
Now, I know there's a tradition within Pentecostal branch of Christianity that still expects that to happen in the same way and the same function of literal cloths being sent to people for healing. And I do believe that those tokens of prayer, that God does, in fact, at times use those things today, like he has in other parts of history, to heal people. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Making systems out of one way that God revealed himself is dangerous. And we have that problem with different kinds of teaching, different kinds of worship, that we've said, well, it worked well in the 17th century or in the 5th century, therefore it ought to be the only way we ever worship or preach. Of course, our Holy Spirit that we worship and sense his presence is alive and well, and he is not static. And he doesn't want us to be static. He wants to reveal himself as he's going to reveal himself in this generation to the people he has on this planet. He knows who he made.
I think I just see this more about faith. Mm. Their faith was increased greatly because of the things they were seeing. Now,
expectations are high.
We are told later on in the scripture that, you know, our faith shouldn't be based on what we see. We've been told that over and over in the scripture. Our faith is based on just that, faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. But at the same time, I know for me personally, when I see God doing a great work in someone's life, it increases my faith greatly.
Yeah.
I'm like,
or reinforces it.
It reinforces. Yeah. And I can say, wow, God is doing that work. He has such a great work to do in the world. And it's not about me and that, oh, I think he's going to do great work in me too. But it's just about trusting his faithfulness and his ability over anything I can see, anything I can comprehend or understand.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
Friends, I can't believe that this year has gone by so fast. You probably feel the same way. And suddenly, we find ourselves in the heart of our annual Bibles for China project. I know that many of you have looked forward to that all year, excited to make another major kingdom impact on the world through your year-end giving. Great news on that front. Our dear friend John Podiety and the folks at Bibles for the World were so encouraged by your response last year that they have joyfully asked us to partner with them again in 2019. Their willingness and enthusiasm are a high compliment to your faithful action, and it's a major endorsement of the evangelistic partnership model that we've pioneered almost three decades ago. When you gave to our 2018 Bibles for China campaign, you helped deliver tens of thousands of new study Bibles and Gospels of John to hundreds of churches across three regions of China. Sandy and I were there to witness it ourselves, and I cannot tell you how much it moved me to see your generosity at work building the kingdom. Will you do it again this year? Between now and the end of 2019, our goal is to reach new regions of China with at least 200,000 copies of God's Word in the form of full study Bibles, New Testaments, and Gospels of John being given by young believers to folks who have never once heard the story of God's love for them. Your gift of as little as $25 or even $50 can spread the gospel to tens or even hundreds of people. So please take this opportunity, starting today, to make your gift and to let others know that they too can make a major impact on world Christianity through their Compassion Radio giving this year. Here's Frank to tell you more about how you can do that right now.
Call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com, or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word compassion to 53445. And thank you so very much.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Go ye therefore to every nation, preach the gospel in your hand.
listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Making systems out of one way that God revealed himself is dangerous. And we have that problem with different kinds of teaching, different kinds of worship, that we've said, well, it worked well in the 17th century or in the 5th century, therefore it ought to be the only way we ever worship or preach. Of course, our Holy Spirit that we worship and sense his presence is alive and well, and he is not static. And he doesn't want us to be static. He wants to reveal himself as he's going to reveal himself in this generation to the people he has on this planet. He knows who he made.
I think I just see this more about faith. Mm. Their faith was increased greatly because of the things they were seeing. Now,
expectations are high.
We are told later on in the scripture that, you know, our faith shouldn't be based on what we see. We've been told that over and over in the scripture. Our faith is based on just that, faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. But at the same time, I know for me personally, when I see God doing a great work in someone's life, it increases my faith greatly.
Yeah.
I'm like,
or reinforces it.
It reinforces. Yeah. And I can say, wow, God is doing that work. He has such a great work to do in the world. And it's not about me and that, oh, I think he's going to do great work in me too. But it's just about trusting his faithfulness and his ability over anything I can see, anything I can comprehend or understand.
I don't think or suspect that the kind of miracles we read about right here were just a leap over everything else, like it suddenly happened. Mm. It seems to me that because the word was getting out through this entire city, that many people were coming to the church and they were being healed. So at this meeting place, people were experiencing the healing power of Jesus in their midst. And probably took those stories back to their families. There were plenty of plagues and things that blew through these cities in ancient times, even worse than today, where half the population might get wiped out by some bad flu or some kind of flea-borne disease. Mm-hmm. Bubonic plague came through quite frequently. What would happen if something like that erupted in the city and the people of God came together and prayed against this contagion? And they saw healings, they saw restoration, they saw people kept from becoming sick. And that story leaks out to the entire population. What would happen if someone could tell that testimony to somebody who's sick in their bed, who's never come close to Jesus, but they say in their heart, could that happen for me? And they just start praying, expecting God to deliver them and calling out to the God they did not know. Mm-hmm. What would happen if that person came back and tells their story, but also said, we pray for you, and the Holy Spirit made your name known to us. We don't know why, but God said, bring this to you. Mm-hmm. And there's the handkerchief or the piece of cloth or some towel, some implement, just as a token and as a vessel for that time, brought the power of God close to them. Mm-hmm. It's weird. And even the Bible says this is not usual.
Yeah, yeah.
In the whole history of the Bible, only a few times was the power of God ever invested in an implement or an inanimate object and then carried somewhere else to do its work. Mm-hmm. But it did happen. Mm-hmm. It's not saying it's impossible. It's saying that God is doing something unusual.
Right. I agree with you that there could have been some terrible, horrible, infectious diseases going around. But one thing that we need to understand in our modern culture is that the common cold was often deadly.
Yeah.
And just a scrape on your arm
or leg,
was often deadly.
Yeah.
So there are things that we don't, oh, I'll just get some antibiotic cream for that. Or, oh, I'll just take a, you know, an aspirin or Tylenol or whatever, and I'll feel better. They did not have that. They didn't have the kind of medicine, the kind of advancement that we have now.
Yeah.
So these kind of things, yes, I believe that there were some major things. I mean, obviously we see people coming back from the dead. That's a pretty major miracle.
And unusual.
And unusual. Yeah. We don't want to put aside what we would call commonplace as being something that was just as miraculous.
Yeah.
But the next thing that comes up, I mean, the very next verse talks about how there were evil spirits that were being cast out.
Their diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them. Now, that could mean that the same thing. It could mean that whatever was oppressing them and making them sick came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe there's a link between things that are of the devil and things that are of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not carry contagion with him.
Right.
It is not part of him. We also need to be careful not to assume that every single illness is something that's got a spirit behind it and you are possessed because you've become sick. Mm-hmm. But there is a link here. There's something about the sin, the corruption, the thing that's away from God's presence crowds in at the same times often that other things crowd in and try to destroy the body. So I think there is some literal discernment that needs to be done even today about what kind of things are assaulting the body mm-hmm. and assaulting the soul. Mm-hmm. And so in this way, they link them, but they also put them a bit apart. Their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Could be talking about mental illness now. We could be talking about all kinds of things that cause people to go crazy or not to function properly. Any city you walk through in America, around the world these days, you will find people who are suffering, literally suffering from deep depressions or mm-hmm. schizophrenia mm-hmm. or other kinds of things that you look at and say, something's not right here. Not that you want to despise them and walk away from them like they're contagious to you, but we understand a little better now how it's not contagious if someone has schizophrenia, as far as we know it. But it's something that, for a believer, ought to drive a lot of compassion. If God can heal these people in first century AD of their diseases, of their evil spirits, he can, and he does, mm-hmm. do that today.
That's right.
Now, this is an interesting twist. There were some traveling Jewish exorcists who attempted to also call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Some new technique. They heard all this stuff was going on in Ephesus. Why not use it?
Right.
I implore you and solemnly command you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches, they would say to the spirits. Seven sons of one named Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. That's an entire family business here.
Yeah.
But the evil spirit retorted to them, I know and recognize and acknowledge Jesus, and I know about Paul, but as for you, who are you?
I have to laugh when I read that because I can see, that's a little demoralizing, you know, yeah. This evil spirit's like, I don't know who you are. I know Jesus, and I know Paul, I know about yeah. Paul, but...
And to say you know them means you've experienced
them. You've encountered them, yeah.
And this demon is saying through this possessed person, who do you think you are,
exactly.
You peons? Then the man in whom was this evil spirit leaped at them and subdued all of them. Now, we're talking about cage fights here. We're not just talking about making them scared and backing off. It basically says he piled into them and probably pile-drive them right into the ground and beat them up.
Well, it says he beat them so severely that he tore their clothing off of them, and they ran out of the house, my version says, stark naked and covered
wounded.
In bruises. Wow. So that was a big fight, and there were seven of them. And
that's symbolic.
Yeah.
So we know that often the spirit itself is called the lampstand and the covering of the churches, and often is referred to as a sevenfold, whatever. Seven means complete, a God number. So the idea of seven is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So a spirit that could overcome seven speaking in the name of the God who is the God of Paul, this is a very fine line and a very distinctive line that I think the Holy Spirit himself is trying to make very clear. Mm-hmm. You do not toy with the power of the Holy Spirit, even for good purposes. Think about that. Mm-hmm. If you are going to go out and do the work of God, you don't do the work of God as you determine it can be done or using the tools in your toolkit and make God one of your tools. That ain't right. Mm-hmm. And God knows right away what your motives are for utilizing or co-opting him.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.